Good morning, church. How are we? Is everybody good? Cool. I say this every week, but I mean it. I always look forward to being together with the believers. It's just a precious time that we all have together. And you guys did a good job this morning of worshiping God. It's not a job, but I mean, you did well, and God knows where He's wanted. Did you know that? God knows where He's welcome. He knows where He's not welcome, and He doesn't intrude where He's not welcome. And He'll stand and knock, but guess what? We have to hear His voice, open the door. We do that corporately. We do that individually. And we let Him in. And when we let Him in, guess what? He comes in and sups with us. He interacts with us. You know, one thing that I believe in, we're doing a series on worship. I've noticed this. There are people who go to certain churches, and I'm not putting down churches, but they worship a historical figure. You know, we talked about the God who was. You know, we're worshiping somebody who lived 2,000 years ago and who hung on a cross. And I believe that, don't you? But one thing that we want to do is realize that, yes, He did live. He lived a perfect life. He died on a cross. He was buried. He rose again. He went to heaven. But He's still alive. And we believe that you can encounter Him every day of your life. That real Christianity is interactive and experiential. And it's not an experience that I have had. I had an experience on July the 10th, 1971, when I invited Jesus Christ into my heart. I had that experience. And then from that point, I began to experience Him daily. And it's not just a historical thing. It's a relationship. It's interactive. It's ongoing. And when we come together, we're just silly enough here to believe that He's here. And that if we will lift up our voices and lift up our hearts to Him, that He will interact with us as a church. That we can experience the presence of God. Now, God's everywhere. We know that. And we just, oh, yeah, God's everywhere. But listen, He shows up and shows out where He's welcome. Friday nights, He's welcome. You know what happens? People get saved. Why? Because He's welcome. His name is lifted up. His message is lifted up. He's welcome there. He touches people. Sunday mornings, I believe that He's welcome here. And when His word goes out, He draws people to Him. We hear testimonies all the time of people who have been drawn to this church as they drive by. You know, one of the reasons is that I asked the Lord this morning, Lord, as people drive by this place, those who need to be here, draw them in. Those who have a need, draw them in. You know why? Because I believe God can trust us as a congregation to receive them, to love them, to not judge them, and let God do a work in their lives. Are y'all out there? Okay, I'm glad you're here. Okay. I don't have time to go back and re-preach this whole series. So, I don't know. Is it all up on podcast yet? Missing one. It'll be there, though? Good. It'll be there tomorrow, probably. Go back and listen to this. It builds on itself, and as most series do. But today we're going to start in Luke chapter 19 in verse 37. The setting of this is what we call the triumphal entry. This is where Jesus, the week of His passion, the week that He was to be crucified, He enters Jerusalem. And there's something that happens. See, we're looking at worship. What is worship? And today we're going to be talking about worshiping God's way. Now, that's loaded. Worshiping God's way. I hear people say all the time, well, I worship God my way. You worship God your way. Don't tell me how to worship. Let me worship God my way. You worship God your way. I don't want to worship God my way. I want to worship God His way. I want to worship Him how He wants to be worshiped, not how I want to worship. You know, it's kind of like, guys, our wife's birthday, and we go out and we buy her a present, and we bring it home, and she unwraps her chainsaw. Unless she has asked for a chainsaw, how many of you know that that is not well received? I mean, we're given a gift that they didn't ask for, that they don't really want. And sometimes I think we do that with God. Sometimes I think we present something to Him that He didn't ask for and that He doesn't particularly want. See, what He wants is us and our heart and our love and our devotion. But really, He wants to be worshiped His way. Because if we worship God our way, sometimes we substitute. Sometimes our pride enters in. Sometimes it's different things, and we won't do certain things because people might criticize us. And we're going to read a story in just a minute about King David. But you want to read this. This is the triumphal entry. It says, when Jesus came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began to joyfully to praise God. Now look at that word. It says how? Joyfully. And began to shout. Say shout. And sing as they walked along, praising God for all of the wonderful miracles that He had done. And they began to, they said, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Now they're quoting a psalm there. Peace in heaven, glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, He replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Now religious people, the Pharisees, they wanted to rebuke them because they were getting out of hand. In fact, they were quoting a verse that those Pharisees didn't like because it was part of the messianic psalm that they were quoting there. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the King who comes in the name of the Lord. So rebuke them. And Jesus says, listen, what they're doing, it was not orchestrated. It's not something that they were told to do. It was a spontaneous thing that they began to do. They began to worship God. They began to be joyful. Now, see, we're talking about worshiping God's way. You know what God wants in worship? He wants us to be joyful. Everybody say joyful. And they begin to shout. Shout and sing. See, you know, I hear people all the time. We went to your church one time and says, y'all just too loud. Well, we are loud. So, well, that's just for the charismatics and the Pentecostals. Really. What about the disciples here? They were joyful. They shouted, and they sang. See, let's don't make it a Pentecostal thing or a charismatic thing or a Baptist thing, a Methodist thing. See, we make our own traditions, and I guarantee you the Pentecostals and charismatics has a bunch of traditions that are not good, as well as everybody else's traditions. But listen, it's not a denominational thing. It's a Bible thing. It's something that God likes. He loves worship from the heart. Okay? So Jesus said, listen, if they're quiet, evidently there was a presence of God going on in that place right there. And he says, you know what? If they're quiet, the stones and the rocks are going to shout. He said, and you know, Jesus said, why aren't you shouting? Why aren't you singing? Why aren't you joyful? They were too busy judging those who were worshiping. See, there's people who worship, then there's people who judge those who worship. Okay, let's read another story. This is the Old Testament. See, this is New Testament here. Well, you know, I know they did all that in the Old Testament, but that's not New Testament. It is New Testament. It is New Testament. Here's the Old Testament. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 12. Then King David was told, the Lord has blessed Obed-Edom's household and everything he has because of the Ark of God. The Philistines had stolen the Ark of the Covenant. And it was such a curse to them that they wanted to get rid of it. So they brought it back, and it wound up in the house of Obed-Edom. And it was, God blessed him because he put the ark in a place and covered it, but it was in his house. It was on its way back to Jerusalem where it belonged, but it stayed there a long time. And God blessed Obed-Edom's house because of the Ark of the Covenant. And David heard that. So David went there and brought the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with a great celebration. How did they do it? With a great celebration. Do you like celebrations? Don't you love? I mean, I love holidays. I love Christmas. I love Thanksgiving. I mean, we celebrate, we eat, and we eat, and we eat, and we celebrate, and we give thanks. Celebrations are good. A great celebration. This was a little bit different. After the men who were carrying the ark of the Lord had gone 6 steps, David sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. And look at this. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, wearing a priestly garment. Now, some said that he went down to his skivvies. Well, actually, he put on a linen ephod, which was a very basic covering. He took off his kingly garments, and he put on a priestly garment, or a very plain linen ephod. In other words, he kind of humbled himself. So we're seeing a picture of David, the king, interacting with God. First thing he did, he took off his kingly garment and he put on a priestly garment, and then he began to do what? He began to dance. He was involved in the celebration. Now, this was not unusual for the children of Israel to rejoice in the dance. Remember when they came out of Egypt after they crossed the Red Sea and the sea comes back and the armies of Pharaoh were drowned, and Miriam takes up the timbrel and they break out into a dance and they begin to sing, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider has he thrown into the sea. And they just danced and they celebrated. God is about celebration. Some people say, oh, you know, we just need to be reverent. Well, is celebration reverent? So we have a thing in our minds that celebration or reverence has to do with being quiet. And sometimes that's true, but it's not always true about being quiet. When we worship God's way, there's times that it calls for celebration, for a response to God. God wants us to respond to Him. And we need to give Him what He asks for. So David was celebrating and he danced before the Lord. Oh my God, they dance in church. See, I told you, that's a Pentecostal thing, dancing in church. No, It's not a Pentecostal thing. It's a Bible thing. It's a Bible thing. We're not talking about putting on a show. We're not talking about doing something just to be seen or heard. We're talking about a response to God. See, worship is responding to God. Worship is responding to God. See, we have people who lead us in worship. They're not singing to you. They're singing to, they better not be singing to you. If they're singing to you, then they need to get off the stage. They need to be singing to God. You're not the audience. God is the audience. You're part of the choir. We're offering worship to God. See, that's what that's all about. So we need to respond. Worship is responding to God. And whatever the moment calls for is what we need to do. Don't do what the moment does not call for, but just do what the moment calls for. Because there's sometimes it's lively, it's exuberant. There's a you can sense it. There's a crescendo. It builds up to a crescendo, and there's a flowing over. And then there's the quiet, reflective. Now you don't need to be making a lot of noise when it's quiet and reflective. You need to match your worship. You need to respond to God in the way that He's moving. Not just making noise. We're not talking about making noise. I've seen people who make noise and they distract. Worship is something that we do as one unto the Lord. And there's times that it should be just like it was when Jesus went into Jerusalem, that they were loud and they sang and they were joyful. There's times that worship needs to be tearful and quiet and peaceful. But the Holy Spirit orchestrates that. The Holy Spirit orchestrates that, and we just need to learn to respond to that. See, they're here. They're in a time of joy. The Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God, and it was coming back to the place that it needed to be in the temple of God. And there was great celebration going on, and David, the king, the leader, humbled himself. Took off his kingly garment. Sometimes we need to take off our prideful garments. Okay? He took off his kingly garment. He humbled himself and he danced before the Lord with all his might. He didn't just do a little. I mean, he was cutting the rug. I don't know what it looked like. I don't know if he was running and jumping and walking and leaping and praising God. I don't know what he was doing. But it was with all of his might. Well, that's not just me. Well, hey, that probably wasn't him either. Well, that's just not me. It doesn't need to be about me. It needs to be about him. We're not talking about disorder. We're talking about order. Amen? Okay, I'm stretching some of you. I want to stretch some of you. Some folks need to be stretched. Some folks need to be bridled. Okay? So you let the Holy Spirit do in you what He wants to do. Okay. So David and all the people of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts of joy and the blowing of ram's horns. I hear people say, I'll tell you, we don't need drums and all of that stuff in the church, and we don't need those horns. Hey, what did they? They had a shofar, a ram's horn, and they were blowing that sucker. Oh, I can just hear it. Oh. They were using the instruments to announce something. And sometimes instruments announce the presence of God. Worship is responding to God. Worship is responding to God. And there were people in the temple that their job was to sing to the Lord. Singing is a part of worship. It's not all of worship. Worship is lifestyle. Worship is not only what you do when you're here, it's what you do when you walk out of here. All of it's considered to be worship. Okay, I got to go. But as the ark of the Lord entered the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked down from her window when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. He was leaping and dancing, okay? So he's walking and leaping and praising God. She was filled with contempt for him. She despised him worshiping God. We're going to see there's a pride issue here. They brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the special tent David had prepared for it. And David sacrificed burnt offerings and peace offerings to the Lord. When he had finished his sacrifices, David blessed the people in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies. Then he gave to every Israelite man and woman in the crowd a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, a cake of raisins. Then all of the people returned to their homes. When David returned to home to bless his own family. I thought that's an interesting statement. He returns home to bless his own family. Micah, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet him. She said in disgust, "How distinguished the king of Israel looked today, shamelessly exposing himself to the servant girls like any vulgar person might do." She was indignant. There are some people that are that way towards the worship of God. It's a heart thing. David's heart was to worship God. She was more concerned about what it might look like to those who were looking on. You know what was going on? David was dancing and rejoicing, but so were the people. I've seen a lot of people, you know, I can't raise my hands. What would people around me think? Probably they're not even looking at you. Because it's not about you anyway, it's about him. And if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, excuse me, then nobody notices. And why would you care what somebody else thinks about your worship to God? We ought to be more concerned about what God thinks about our worship to him. He gets quiet when we talk this way, but that's all right. David retorted, he didn't retort in much love here to Micah. "I was dancing before the Lord, who chose me above your father and all his family. He appointed me as leader of Israel, the people of the Lord. So I celebrate before the Lord. Yes, I am willing to look even more foolish than this, even to be humiliated in my own eyes. But those servant girls you mentioned will indeed think I'm distinguished." Wow. He put her in her place. He says, you know what? They weren't paying any attention to me. I was responding to God. I was responding to God. I was worshiping God. I was thanking God for what he had done in my life and what he had chosen me to do. He said, I was not despised in their eyes. I was distinguished in their eyes. See, her deal was pride. Here you are, the king. You took off your king's garments and you were down to your We say your skivvies or your, you know, the linen ephod, and you're exposing yourself. No, he wasn't. He wasn't being indecent. But you know what he said? I'll become even more undignified than this. We sing that song. I'll become more undignified than this. And that's where that comes from, this story. He says, I'll humble myself. I'll humiliate myself if that's what God wants. Can I just be honest? That pricks my pride. That pricks my pride. I don't want to be humiliated in front of people, do you? But David's making a point here. Said, you think me and my skivvies is indecent? I'm willing to become more undignified than that. I don't know what he was inferring. If he's going to dance in his birthday suit, I don't know. But he said, you know what? It's about what God wants. It's not about my pride. And it really put Michael in her place because she was full of pride. She was the king's daughter. She liked the dignity of that. But you know, there's an interesting statement here because it says, so Michael, the daughter of Saul, remained childless throughout her entire life. She became unfruitful. Let's make a parallel here, okay? David was very fruitful. She was unfruitful. She was not willing to give God what he wanted. David was willing to worship God. She despised the worship of God. I believe when there's an honest, open worship of God, it makes us more fruitful as Christians. When we get in our pride, when we get in our, or we substitute, well, I won't do this, but I'll do this. I won't do this, but I'll do this. I won't raise my hands, but I'll do this. I won't do this, but I'll do this. Substitution. Then I think we become less fruitful because we're not responding to God. We're offering God maybe something that he didn't even ask for. Remember Cain and Abel? He rejected Cain and his offering because it was really not a heart offering. It was just lip service. God's not interested in your lip service. God is not even interested in activity that doesn't come from the heart. The thing is, we need to get our hearts right towards God and learn to respond to him from our heart, saying, Lord, I'll give whatever you ask. If the moment calls for me to lift my hands, then I will lift my hands. Let's look at some verses. What is considered some proper things to do in the presence of God? We're going to look at some Psalms. Psalms 35:18. I will thank you in front of the great assembly. I will praise you before all the people. Well, I worship God in private. I worship God my way and in private. I think you ought to worship God in private. But this says that you're going to worship before all the people. Now that word, that Hebrew word, is halal, where we get our word hallelujah. It comes from that word. You know what that word means in the Hebrew? It means to rave, to boast, and to celebrate. Does that sound like quiet? See, there's a time for raving, boasting, and celebrating. And he says, we're going to do that where? In front of all of the people. You know what? Next time somebody tries to put God down, say, hey, let me tell you what God has done for me. Did you know that's worship? Worship is not just something you do here. It's something that you live out there. Let me tell you what God has done in my life. Let me tell you about the goodness of God. Let me tell you where I was at and where God has brought me to. Let me celebrate this in front of you. That's worship. That's praise. The halal. You know what hallelujah means? It says praise to Yah. one of the names of God. Praise to God. It's giving praise to God for the things that He has done. You need to do that everywhere. Do that everywhere. Well, what if somebody puts me down? Is your worship about you or is it about God? Because let me tell you what, when you share what God has done, you may not be able to preach and maybe you don't need to, but you can always share what God has done for you. It can be a seed in a person's life. It's not good to sit on the front row. It could be a seed that turns a person's life around. God can use it. When we extol God for the things that He has done, it's worship to God, but it's something that God can take and change another person's life. Your story matters. Your story matters. Everybody should have their story. You should write your story. That's something that before people share testimony at CR, they have to write their story. It's a good thing to write your story. The second one is in Psalm 138:1. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. And that word is yada, and it means to acknowledge in public. Again, there it is again. It's not just a private thing. I remember a few years ago, some of our presidential candidates were asked about their faith, and they said this thing, well, it's just a private thing with me. Oh, yeah, really? Really? Yeah, it's just a private thing. No, it's not a private thing. God didn't save you for you to be private. He saved you for you to speak out for Him. Yeah, but that might put me in a bad light. Well, so? So? Okay, I could go on with that, but I'm not. The next one is Psalm 103, verse 1. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name. That word is Barak. I'll refrain from that one too. And that means to bless by kneeling or bowing. Well, I can't believe that they just kneeled down right in the church service. Why? If the moment calls for that, if you feel so humble in your heart and overwhelmed, get down on your knee. Lift your hand to the Lord and worship Him. So, well, what are people going to think? I'm more concerned about what is God going to think. What is God going to think if I stand on my feet when I feel compelled to kneel to my knees? See, it's about God. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's about God. What does He want? You can do it for show, but we're not talking about doing it for show. We're talking about doing it for God, to bow down. Here's another one. Psalms 92, verse 1. It's a good thing to praise the Lord and make your music to your name, O Most High. It's a good thing to praise the Lord. And that means making music to God with strings. Well, them guitars in church, I'll tell you what, they're an abomination unto God. Well, that's not what that says. It says strings. What has strings? Harps. Harps okay? Got strings. Pianos? They got strings. Guitars? Even electric guitars have strings. I mean, if there was specifications to that, it would have said that, but it says strings. There's all kinds of things that have strings. We saw a while ago that they used horns, and there were times that they took up the tambourine, which is it's a beat thing. That would be like drums. Are drums okay? Yeah, we don't like them drums in our church. We don't do it that way in our church. They're going to do it in heaven. There's going to be some drumming in heaven. There's going to be some guitars in heaven. No grunge. No, I'm kidding. I don't know what kind. Yeah, there's all styles. You know, people want to make about style, and who cares? It's not about the art. It's about the heart. It's more about the lyrics than it's about the beat. There's some people trying to say, well, there are certain kind of beats. You know, if it's 3-4 beat, it's okay. But if it's 4-4, that's the devil. Well, show me. People get, can I just say it? Cindy's not here. People get stupid sometimes. I said people get stupid sometimes. They get ignorant. No wonder we get made fun of. Some of the ignorant things that people come up with. Get off my box. I need to find my soapbox. I hadn't seen that thing in a while. Somebody hid that from me. So zamar, which to use strings. Okay, I got to hurry. Psalm 63, 3 and 4. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands. That is shabak. To address in a loud tone and shout. There are times it's proper to address God in a loud tone and whoo! He said he will do what? Lift the hands. I don't know about that lifting the hands. God likes it. They like it at Razorback Stadium pretty good. When our kids do good on the baseball field, we say, go, 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 run. What are we doing? You know why we do that? Because we think that's worth something. We have assigned worth to our children and the things that they're involved in. And we get enthusiastic about it. And we lift, yes, go, go team, go, fight, run, Jake, run. We come in the presence of God. We don't sing. We sit there with our hands down. I shall not be moved. What's up with that? Whatever you assign worth to, and there's nothing wrong with doing that for your kids. There's nothing wrong with doing that for the Hogs. But listen, when you come to church, he's worth that. He's worth that. You're assigning worth. He says, I'll lift up my hands. I'll address him in a loud tone. I will shout. Okay, got to hurry. Psalms 50, 23. He who offers praise glorifies me, and to him that orders his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. That's todah, and that means to lift hands in adoration. That means he's worth something to you. I'll lift hands in adoration. I struggle with this. I shared this before, how in, you know, it, being raised in the Methodist church, we didn't do that in my church. You would get looked at funny if you did that. So we would get behind the pew and do that. Me and Champ Hawkins, we sit next to you. We'd be standing there and we'd give it one of them. And we'd look it over to each other and just grinning like we'd done something big. I heard Chris Hodges talking about him. You know, he said, okay, he started going to this kind of church, and he noticed that, and he was a little too prideful to do that, but he decided in his own heart, okay, next church service, I'm going to give it one of those hand things. He says in the music going, tum-pa-dum-pa-bum-pa-pa-boom-pa-bum-pa-dum-pa-pa-boop. You know, wherever you have to start, do it. Get through your pride. Well, I just don't do that. Well, God likes it. God likes it. Can I give God what he likes? You're trying to make a Pentecostal. No, I'm just trying to make you a worshiper. I'm just trying to make you a worshiper. Here's the last one. Psalms 34:1. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. That's the word tehillah. Now listen very closely. Tehillah, not tequila. Tehillah. And that means exuberant singing. We ought to be singing people. Well, I can't sing. Well, God likes it. But I can't sing good. Well, God gave you your voice. Said he didn't give me a very good one. Okay, give it back to him. Sing. He didn't just say those who can sing good sing. Now, if you sing bad, we're probably not going to hand you a microphone. But between you and God, sing. Don't worry about it. Sing when you're going about your day. Sing. There's something about singing that does something to the heart. Whoa. So let's learn to worship God His way. I challenge you. Look in your heart. Is it pride? I'm just shy. Well, hey, I was one of the most shy guys you'd ever been around. Shy. Well, we don't do it. We've never done it that way. So, if God likes it, don't give Him a chainsaw. Give Him your heart. Give Him what He wants. I'm not telling you you have to do that. I'm challenging you to look in your heart, examine your heart, let God do a work in your heart, and learn to respond to God and give Him what He wants. We see what's proper. Now, it's not proper if I'm doing it for show, but if I assign worth to Him, And the time is right, and I do that, or I go, woo! See, we're fixing to enter into time of worship. This is not a time for shouting here. This is responding to God in the atmosphere that is set. It's a time for reflection. This whole service has led up to this time that we're going to reflect and we're going to worship God. So let's go ahead and stand. Prayer team, come on up. In case somebody needs prayer for something, maybe you're here today and you need to know Christ. They can pray with you to do that. Or if you have some other kind of need. But the rest of us, I just want us to respond to God. Whatever that looks like in your life. Whatever that looks like between you and God in your heart. Respond to Him. Today. Can we do that? Father, thank You. I lift my hands to Your name. Lord, You're worthy. You're worthy of honor and glory and praise and thanksgiving. I lift my hands. I lift my voice before You today. I worship You for Your grace. Thank You, Lord. Let's respond to Him.